Good morning. Will you greet your neighbor left and right? Good morning. All right. Now, today, we're going to begin a new series. Not actually new, because we did a 2 pre-message series to prepare for Great Faith. All right. Now, what happened was we did a 2 series on prayer. I talk about when you pray and when they have prayer, or when you have prayer. All right. During our prayer, fasting, and consecration week. All right. Now, Bible tells about how, okay, we must have faith. How many of you want to have faith? Yes, right? Now, please God. Okay, Hebrews 11 verse 6, okay, says this, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. All right? And if you got to believe that God exists, that He's a rewarder, okay, of those who diligently seek Him. All right? So in other words, without faith, it's possible to please God. It means for each and every one of us to please God or to honor God, it takes faith, okay, to honor God, all right? So as we learn about this series, our goal is such that at the end of the series that you will have a greater understanding of what it means to have a biblical doctrine of faith, okay, so to speak, and that you will know how to apply that and when you meet challenges in your life. You have a good amen. Okay, now, last week, you hear me saying that as we start this series, and it carries a big idea on how do you maintain great faith, okay? Even as we look at Hebrews chapter 11, the life of the heroes of faith, like Enoch, like Abraham, like Sarah, okay, like Moses, Noah, and the rest, all right? Now, talking about great faith, now, I do not know how you understand great faith. Yes, faith, yes, but great faith, all right? Great faith. Just now you see the video. Is that the faith of a mustard seed? Don't we just need a faith that's so small? Why do we need a great faith? True or not? All right? Yes, we all must start with the seed of the faith of as small as a mustard seed. Yes, but after that, the seed must not remain. The seed must grow. Okay, that's where it becomes great faith. You got to develop that right now. As we talk about great faith, I put a question, like, great faith, so what is it? Now, I want to begin by debunking some of the probably the understanding that we have, a misconception, okay, that we have, you and I, when we think about great faith, all right? So, I want to give you 5, and then there are many, so I'll give you 5. Probably see some of the common that thing that we probably run through our mind. So, I want to help you debunk that and understand a bit more, all right? Now, just before we do that, have you ever had friends who pray, who fasted? They pray, they fasted. You have friends like that because they are praying and fasting for a new car. And they got a new car. Then you look at your friend in your heart and say, wow, great faith. Okay? What about another friend, okay? I'm sure you have friends like that, right? I mean, me too, okay, now. If you have another friend who pray and pray, fasted and fasted and fasted for a new job, and he or she got a new job. Story not ended yet. Not only got a new job, but the company gave him or her a new car. Not just a new company car, but it's branded. What's your car? BMW? Lexus or whatever, all right? Not only brand new, but it's branded and it's hybrid. Oh, so now you say, wow, great faith. Great faith, man. All right. Now, let me tell you another one. What about another friend who not even pray? Never even ask God anything, all right? I mean, in that sense, right, huh? All right, you maybe have a friend like that. Never pray, never fast before, okay? And then, he or she was so blessed. Let's take an example, okay? And she got married. Not only she got married, the husband owns a big bungalow. And in that bungalow got 4 cars. All branded and all hybrid. Okay. Now you say, wow, great faith. So what is great faith? Great faith. Pray or not to pray? Fast or not to fast? Okay, so some of the things that we need to debunk, right? So sometimes we have such understanding, but however, we cannot deny that our God is a good God. Amen? All right. So he has the best interest for every one of us. All right. Now I'm going to give you five. Okay. From there, we can get a more understanding. So in other words, I want to ask this question: what great faith is not? It's easier for us to understand, right? So what great faith is not? Great faith is not about how many times you pray. You pray morning, afternoon, night. Pray 5, 10 times. I have seen people who say, oh, you want this prayer to be answered. Then you must pray for 1,000 times, you know. Then God knows. So you want to pray. Say hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. So you keep on counting hallelujah. Then you waited. Then no answer. Then your friend say, oh, maybe you miscount lah. You miscounted. Maybe you just pray to 999. Just one more lah. That's why. Okay. So, great faith is not about how many times, right? True or not? It's not about how many times you pray or you call the name Jesus, 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 Jesus. Sometimes I also heard about this when I was much younger as a youth. The youth pastor was saying that you can call for Coca-Cola. Now Coca-Cola came out. Because Coca-Cola can be found in the interior of whatever jungle. True or not? Coca-Cola. All right, now. Second one. What great faith is not? Great faith is not about how fast you pray. I know we pray, we fasted, but that doesn't mean you got to pray very fast so that your answer comes faster. No, it doesn't work that way, right? It doesn't work. It's not about how fast you pray so that your prayer will come faster. No, it doesn't work that way. Many times when we pray, we always ask this question: why God answers so slow? So, question: you want God to be fast or slow? Some say fast, some say slow. But it all depends, right? It all depends, all right? Because our human nature is that we want God to answer fast. That's our human nature. God answer now. Okay, we are like that, all right? Now, but God has a timing, okay, that we must learn, okay, to learn with God, whether fast or slow. Now, I show you this scripture that show that God is slow, all right? Now, number one, Psalms 145, verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, great in mercy. How many of us want God to be fast in anger? No way, right? Here it is. We are not all of us not here already. All right, gone. All right. So God is slow, okay, to anger. Right, He has a lot of patience. Now, just that many you cannot tahan. Okay, now 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness. Why God so slow? Right now, God says that by His patience toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. If God would choose to act fast now, right? In other words, it's already the end of the world. Some says that the scholars say that Jesus would have come back year 2000, now it's already 2019, right? Would have come back. Okay, they do all this calculation that Jesus would have come back, but He did not. So in other words, if that calculation is true, all right, God is extending His time. He's extending His grace, so that you and I have this extended time to fulfill what God has called us to do. There are many more who are yet to know Christ. Okay, what are our role, okay, to do that? Okay, are we still slow in that sense? Because God is slow, all right, we got to act fast. Okay, we'll never know, okay, what God, okay, will do or come back. Okay, now, third one. Oh, so fast, number three already, you can go back, okay. Well, great faith is not, this is the intro right now. It's not about how active you are in church. Wow, I serve this, I serve that, morning come, I serve afternoon, serve night also, I serve midnight also, I serve every day, I serve, okay. But why God never answer my prayer? Friends, great faith is not about how active, okay, you are in church. Yes, right, you got to serve God, okay, that is important, all right. So, these are those spiritual habits. If you love God, you serve Him. Right? Whether there's reward or not doesn't matter, because of the love for you. Those are spiritual habits. You pray, you read the Word of God, okay, you serve Him and all those. I missed number three, right? Okay, number three. Number three is what great faith is not. Great faith is not about how long, how loud, okay, you pray. What does that mean? Do I have to pray very long? God, you hear me or not? I pray for 5 years already. You have prayed so long. You still haven't heard me? Is that great faith? Or just pray short prayer? Sometimes, right, God wants to answer our prayer. But we pray so long, no? Pray oh, so long. Jesus was waiting. Are you waiting? When are you going to say amen? Nah. True or not, right? Oh, you want to be so loud, God, Jesus. Okay, reach the million galaxy. Sure, reach one. Okay, sure, reach Jesus. We know it's not, right? True. So whether we pray soft or loud, God hear us. All right, God hear us. All right, God is not deaf. His hand is not too short, okay, to be where we are. All right. But the balance is this. If you are called to pray for everybody, make sure you pray loud and clear. Otherwise, you're asked to pray for the food. Then everybody is like, hey, finish ready or not? Okay, finish ready or not? Okay. Jesus' name, amen. All right. So you got it, huh? Okay, number five. What great faith is not? It's not how much you suffer for God. Why do I say that? Because some may feel that if I suffer for God, I'm nearer to Him. Yeah, you go to heaven faster, lah. All right, suffer, ma. All right, okay, now. But it's not, right? If there's no suffering, don't ask for one, right? Don't ask for one, okay? Yeah. All right? But there are people who have been persecuted. There are people who have been ridiculed, okay, and went through pain. Sometimes it's not just a physical pain. It can be emotional pain and stress as well, all right? What do you do? How do you maintain great faith? So, if there's suffering because of Christ, what you do? You bless God. There are people who ridicule you. Bible says, bless them. They'll never know. All right? Because there are friends who just purposely, you know, ridicule you because you are Christian. But you, in turn, you bless them back. They'll just wonder why. Friends like these who persecute you and you bless them, they come to know Jesus faster. Do you know? Yeah, you can try. Okay, now. If there's no suffering, praise God. If everything is okay, you thank God. If everything is not okay, you continue to give thanks. Okay or not? All right. Praise the Lord. Huh? Now, when I search the scripture, thinking about great faith, I found that probably there are only two examples. Probably two examples in the gospel that Jesus said, wow, great faith. So one of the examples is none other than the great faith of a centurion. Okay, the story goes like this in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 to 10 and 13. That says, now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. His servant, not his family member, no, but his servant who served him. Now this probably the servant very dear to him, but he's lying paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. How many of you who want Jesus to pay a home visitation? Jesus come to your home, yes? Okay, if you're someone say, pastor say, okay, I'll come to your house. Happy, right? True or not, right? But what was the reply of this centurion? The centurion said this. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I am also a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. Wow. This centurion, this man, he recognized what's so different, this man with all the rights, because this man recognized what it means, okay, to be under authority and above authority. You know, that means he know how to honor God. He know who Jesus is, how to honor him, and he know what it means, okay, to stand, okay, between authority, be under and above. He knew. So with that, right, he knew if Jesus would just give that command, wow, great faith. Then what did Jesus reply? And Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, so Jesus turned and said, wow. Then he told all those who follow him, he said, Assuredly, I say to you, he's not saying, okay, to the centurion man, okay, he's saying to all the those who follow, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Sometimes I wonder when Jesus were to come back one day, what would Jesus look for? Jesus is looking for a one that has faith. Yes? Check. Faith or not faith? Okay. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way as you have believed, so let it be done for you. His servant was healed that same hour. Wow. So receiving that, yes, you say, go away, since you believe, so it be it. So as he went that same hour, his servant got healed. Great faith, right? Okay. You go home, think about this, Matthew 8, you read again and again. Wow. How can you have this great faith of this centurion? Just by the word. Another story. This is the great faith of a Canaanite woman in Matthew chapter 15, reading from verse 21. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to a district of Tyre and Sidon, okay, which is a non-Jew area, all right? And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying and said, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. Now, what was Jesus' response? Did Jesus say, come visit the home? No, this time was not. Jesus never healed her. Jesus 没有拆他. Okay, Jesus never say, okay, I go. No, Jesus said this. No, Jesus said, Jesus, but he did not answer her a word. And the disciples came and begged him, saying, send her away, for she is crying out after us. Well, sad case, right? Sad case. Well, let's look at the part two. Jesus answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of house of Israel. Because that moment, that season, okay, or that context, Jesus came for the Jews. Okay, he haven't declared even for the others yet, right? But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. True or not, sometimes our prayer, how many of you pray prayer like this? God, help me. God, all right? You don't pray too long, right? God, help me. And he answered, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. She said, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. Wow, the moment Jesus said that, O woman, great is your faith. Tee-tee, healed. I don't know, like, because instantly, you know, the message came. WhatsApp, healed. Instantly. Great faith. That was a joke. Okay, never mind. You didn't laugh. Okay. Okay, now. So, great is your faith. You can learn something from the centurion. You can learn something from the Canaanite woman. All right? Now, if you hear me last week, I said that this, we're going to learn of heroes of faith. And today, as we begin, we want to explore with you Hebrews chapter 10 before we talk about, okay, all the heroes of faith. We want to talk about the great faith of the Hebrew believers. Say with me, Hebrew believers. My question is, who were these Hebrew believers? Who are they? What happened to them? Why did the author of the book of Hebrews write, okay, concerning them? Now, if you were to read the book of Hebrews, in other words, it's letters written, okay, to the Hebrews believers. The Hebrew believers are Jews who became Christian. Okay, they grew up, that means they grew up, okay, with the Jewish culture, tradition, and all those, all right? And they come to a place they have known Jesus. So they are Jesus believer, okay? They believe in Jesus. They are Christian, okay, in that case, all right? So in other words, what I'm saying is, as you read the book of Hebrews from chapter 1 onwards, you see that the Old Testament history can be there. That means they knew, okay, all this Old Testament history, because these are their history, their family, generation after generation, all right? And you see how they have been persecuted, how they have been imprisoned, how the author of the book of Hebrews encouraged them and challenged them in times like this. So the big question, okay, the big idea that I want to ask is about, all right, how to maintain great faith when pressure against you are mounting on every side. In other words, when we look at the great faith of the Hebrew believers, how they remain faithful despite of persecutions. Okay? Let's pray. Father God, I commit all of us into your hands, even as we learn of this series of great faith, as we learn of the Hebrew believers, how they remain faithful. I ask, Lord, that Holy Spirit come teach us, bring our understanding of your word, because only you can. I give thanks. I pray this in Jesus' name. Everyone say, amen. Now, the book of Hebrew written about AD 60, plus minus, okay? AD 60. Now, try to think that if I were them, AD 60. If AD 60, okay, how old am I? Anybody knows? For calculation's sake, 50 lah, huh? For calculation's sake. Okay, not my exact, but I'm above 50. All right, now, for calculation's sake, okay, I'm 52. Okay, now, it's okay, you're wondering, okay, now. Okay, let's say 50. Let's say I'm 50 years old, all right, now. AD 60, for calculation's sake, I'm 50 years old at AD 60, all right? That means at what year I was born? AD 10, right? AD 10, right? Now, if I'm born in AD 10, when was Jesus crucified? Tied across, buried, and third day he rose. Around AD 33, all right? Which means, if I'm born in AD 10, by around AD 30, 33, how old am I? About 20 years, plus minus. How many of you here are 20 years, plus minus? Right, maybe 18 to 25, right? Only Deborah. The rest, younger than that or older than that? Okay, you know my point, right? Now, which means, I grew up in Judaism, and I've been trained all throughout all the code of law of the Jewish, okay? The tradition and everything. I got to memorize all the Torah, okay? The first five books, okay? All the tradition, all the custom and all those and all that. All right, and my family, one day, my father and mother came back and said, we believe in Jesus. Okay, some of the ceremonial thing we don't do anymore, all right, because we believe in Jesus. Then as time goes, during that time, it's under the Roman rule. Persecution after persecution took place. They since many of those who believe have been put in prison and have been killed. Can you have a picture now? All right. Now, as we go to Hebrew chapter 10, this verse, okay, verse 32, 34. How the Hebrew believers remain faithful despite of persecution. The author of the book of Hebrews is encouraging, is challenging, okay, the Hebrew believers to remain faithful, to have great faith. So verse 32, but I recall the former days when after you were enlightened, you endured hard struggle with suffering, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property. How many of you joyfully? Somebody come to your house, take your car away, you know, take your mango away. all right? Sometimes straight up come, you chase, all right? But this one is like, Take. You want to take lah. You want my car? Take lah. All right. You want my dog? Take. Okay. Everything take. All right. Joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourself had a better possession, an abiding one. Wow. So I built the scenario. Okay. They are living at those time and they are going through this situation. How to maintain great faith? How to remain faithful? When we look at the life of the Hebrew believers, I have three observations based on this portion of scripture. Number one, three observations. Number one is do not forget. Say with me, do not forget. Do not forget what? So another translation said this, think back. It means the sound was recall, the word recall. Now think back on those early days when you first learned about Christ. Remember how you remain faithful even though it means terrible suffering. Now, what were you will not forget. You think for a while, or try to think, what would I forget? I will not forget. I mean, being human, right? Those people who borrowed my things and never return. Correct? How many of you people borrow your things and never return? Sometimes they borrow so long until they think that that's theirs and not yours anymore. Right? We will never forget those people who say those words, hurting words. And we will remember that for years. But friends, that's not I want you to remember, right? I want you to remember, do not forget. Think back on those early days when you first learned about Christ. When the first time you know about Jesus. When the first time you learned about Him. I got saved in year 1985. In the month of February. After Valentine. Okay. Another story, right? Okay, now. So I got saved in February 1985. I still can remember that moment, okay, when received Jesus Christ. And here was the Hebrew believers in the first century. And they suffered a lot. And Bible talks about the hard struggle and suffering that they have, how publicly they have been ridiculed, property has been plundered. And they face persecution and persecutor that come. And how they can remain faithful, okay, in that sense. Hebrew, the author said, remember, okay. Do not forget. How many of you remember the days when you were touched by the Lord? Many of us who were students when you come to know Jesus, during those youth camp, family camp, you go, you attended, people encourage you, go lah, do one. Last minute you want to sign up. Okay, last minute you sign up, then you go. Then we're doing worship, you're touched by the Lord, and then you cry. And you're so glad that you went. You're touched by the Lord. True? Those days when you don't have transport. Why don't you go to church? Never mind. No transport, walk. Today, no transport. No need lah. Today, right? Those days when I was studying in USM, no transport. Walk. My hostel is at the end of USM, and to go for food is the other end, okay, for food. So that is my motivation. So, but everywhere in the USM. But now USM provide them shuttle. No shuttle, cannot go lecture. Okay. Those days when we do not have money, never mind, we fast. Still able to give to the Lord. Those days when I have only 10 ringgit per week to give to the Lord, 10%. How much? 1 ringgit. Praise the Lord. I'm still able to give. You don't wait until when you have a lot, no? Too late. Not say too late. The urge to give is much less. When you learn small, when you have much, you continue to give. Because you already have that spiritual habit, okay, to do so. Right, I remember. Wasn't planning to say that, but in the Sunday night, I remember that incident. That it was my first overseas mission trip. That was back in 1999, and that was to Philippines. We arrived late. I think about late. It was late. Wait for the next flight. We reached Manila, Nino Aquino Airport. They flew to Cebu. When we reached that church, it was already 10-something p.m. And the church was still praying, we have to wait for the prayer meeting to end. And then for the pastors to brief us, take about another hour. Then after that, we were sent to the hotel, not 5-star, okay, in the hotel. So when we reached hotel, check in everything, I think it was 12 plus, I mean almost 1 already. And we were told that the first team out is 5 a.m., and that is my team, 5 a.m. So we get to the room. Unpack. There's a toothbrush. Sleep. Since 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock, got to get up. So 1 to 4. But then sleep was 2, so about 2 hours. So we went to this, take a boat out, 5 a.m. to take the first boat out to the island called Kapote Island. Some of you have not been, right? Well, what I admire, one of the story was, as day goes, all right, on Saturday, about to rest, okay, that the island is such, you have water, electricity problem, all right? So they have this ration. So at night, maybe about 6 to 8, 2 hours, they on the electricity. You hear the generator running. After 2 hours, shut down. No more. It's all dark. Water, until 10 p.m., we did not know. Yeah, we didn't know. So we were trying to evaluate the whole day and all those. By 10:30, we went. No water, okay. So my friend was shampooing already. Hey, no water lah. I went to the kitchen, found a pail of water, nah, yours lah. He washed his hair, I didn't manage. Okay, now, anyway. So on Saturday evening, the church started to be filled up. I got panic because it's my turn to preach on Sunday. So I went to the pastor. Is there a service that we need to conduct? He said, no. These people in our island, no transport. So these people come from the other end of the island. The moment they finish work, they start walking to church. And they will sleep there so that they can attend church the next day. It's just like in the days when Penang, from Bali Pulau, you don't have transport to here. Yeah, so evening when they finish work at 5, they start walking to church. So that they won't miss church. I don't know about your story. Remember, or do not forget, when you first learn about Jesus. One more story. This one I must tell. This one very new, okay? This story very new, very fresh. Just happened last November. True story. A pastor gathered, okay, the young people. And they are like the second generation believers, all right? Parents, very strong, serving the Lord in the church, very active. But the children find hard to go to church. They find their parents force them to go to church, had to wake up early, pray, do Bible studies, and all those, right? Read the Bible, throughout the Bible 1 year, like Pastor Jonathan asked you all to read, like that. Okay, all right, now. They find hard. So pastor having a conversation with them and all those, so they all complain all the grievances that they have towards their parents. Out of that, right, one girl their age stood up and said, "Hey guys, I think I'm in the wrong group. You guys all complain. Do you know you guys are all so blessed that you are in a Christian family and then you can go to church without any problem and you all do not want to go to church? I think I'm in the wrong group." So she wants to leave. They say, "Why?" He said, "I come from a family that do not believe in Jesus. Every Sunday, I have to fight with my parents for me to get to church." They all, So, that was the day message. Pastor don't need to preach anymore. All of them changed. Their life changed. So, from that day, so end of the year, this year, all of them served the Lord. No issue. Friends, maybe, I don't know. Okay, now, so what is your story when you first learn about Jesus? Do not forget, okay? Remember that. Second one, do not throw away. What do I mean by that? Look at the verse. "Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward." So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. So Jesus saying, or the author of the book of Hebrews said, do not throw away your confidence, that trust. Every difficult moment that you have, don't throw away that confidence. Don't throw away that trust. You know, there are daily life stories that we can learn. Have you experienced moment that you met an accident? Have you had moment that when you first learn how to cycle? Tomorrow we are bringing our leaders to cycle in Bali Pulau. Okay. How many of you know how to cycle? Yeah, okay, quite many. Do you remember the first time when you learned to cycle? Oh, yes. When I first got on my bicycle, I need to learn, right? So when you learn the balancing and you tend to fall. So when you fall and the bicycle, you have this center bar, right? So when you learn to fall, you... Oh, so painful, man. And many times I fell and all those. Okay, with bicycle, we go to cycle to school. If because of bumpy road, you have... fall, I mean, you have fall from the bicycle, fallen from a bicycle, then you don't want to cycle anymore. So how? What? How many of you, when you learn how to drive and you hit something? Remember? Are you going to say, sorry, I'm not going to drive anymore? So you walk to work, no? You know, I have bus accident. Am I going to say, I'm not going to take bus anymore? I'm not going to say flight, okay, no. Okay, what about turbulence? How many have experienced turbulence? Are you going to say, I'm not going to take flight anymore? It's so scary, man. So when you go for holiday in London, you walk, True, right? So don't throw away that confidence, that trust. And it's important. So in other words, do not throw away the confidence also means do not throw away the courage that you have. Don't, okay? Don't give up, in other words, because remember the great reward that it brings. When you do that, wow, when you receive the reward, wow. Especially those fishing ones, you wait 1 hour, 2 hours, no fish. And the last minute, there's a fish. What if the last minute you say, give up, go back, right? So I want to say that whatever that you're going through, whatever circumstances you may be facing, know this, God is still there for you. And good amen. Tell your neighbor left and right, God is still there for you. The passage continues to say, patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that He has promised. For in just a little while, the coming one will come and not delay. Now, the book of Hebrews is known of one thing, that is the word better. Say with me, better. So you read chapter 1, chapter 2, and continue. You will learn of this word called better. And you will learn about Jesus. Better, all referring to Jesus. You will learn that Jesus is better than angels. You will learn about Jesus being the better high priest. You will learn about Jesus brings a better hope. You will learn of Jesus be the mediator of a better covenant. You will learn about Jesus provide a better sacrifice. You will learn of Jesus being the author of a better salvation. That's where you say Jesus is the author and the perfecter of our salvation. The word better is in the whole book of Hebrew. So what is great faith? Do not forget the day that you learn of Jesus. To do not throw away confidence in God, Jesus. Alright? His word. Number three. I'm going to end soon. Do not shrink back. Where did I get this word? Continue the scripture. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not those who shrink back and destroy, but of those who have faith and preserve, okay, their soul. Probably you have been praying for the longest time to receive an answer. Probably you are clinging on a promise that you are claiming for years. Maybe praying for the salvation of your loved ones. Maybe your job, maybe your business, maybe for a new direction. Maybe you are single and you are praying for a good husband and a wife. I do not know. Maybe, right? Maybe. But I heard of this story recently, just to help us understand, right? So maybe you're single. How many single here? You are praying. Do you pray for your future husband and wife? You should, huh? You should, right? Now. But this story was just so funny, all right? So maybe you help you and I to understand. So whether he or she, right? So he's praying for a future husband. Dear God, I want to pray for, if you are a girl, you're a single lady, you want to pray for a husband. God, I want to pray for a handsome, correct? God-fearing man. Okay? You pray and you pray and you pray. No answer, oh. Then you say, "Aiya, God, maybe no more handsome people around. Not many people handsome like pastor." Hey, okay, all right. So you remove the word handsome. Then for those who are praying for a wife, God, I want to pray for a beautiful, God-fearing, okay, woman. So wait so long, no more. Maybe delete beautiful lah. So ugly, no? Correct. I mean, logic, just opposite of meaning, right? So then you pray, so left, God, pray for a God-fearing man. No more handsome already, no more beautiful already, okay, right? Wait, so long. God, or maybe now in this generation, No more the God fearing already. God, I pray for a man. I pray for a woman. Wait, also none. So now get married. Just kidding. I'm just telling you this story. It was just funny. I'm just saying that sometimes when we pray, right, we shrink back. Why I'm telling that joke, right? So sometimes we shrink back. We downgrade ourselves. Why? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the message of God. Right? God has a plan. God has a purpose for all of us. I'm going to pray and work towards it and not give up. So remember, okay, here it says, we are not of those who shrink back. Which means what? Remember who you are. You are not those who shrink back. Never give up. That's what it means. Great faith is a journey. It's a seed, faith like a small mustard seed that you have it, so small, but it doesn't remain there. You plant it, you grow it, it will develop, and you have great faith. Yes, it starts somewhere. All right? God has called us for a purpose. Let us not lose sight. We are called to honor God, make disciples. People choose not to honor God, you honor God. People don't want to make disciples, never mind, you make disciples. We must not lose sight of what God has called us to do. I want to end by this story. Okay, I came to know this story. I say, wow, if I'm this person, what would I do, all right? A story of a long-distance swimmer. Okay, her name is Florence Chadwick, against the fog. In 1952, a young woman, lady by the name of Florence Chadwick, stepped into the waters of the Pacific Ocean off Catalina Island to determine to swim to the shore of mainland California. Right? So I'm trying to think. Okay, if Penang will be like this. I'm in Penang Island, and I'm going to swim to Butterworth. Alright? Now, I also discovered that the distance that she has is 26 miles. 26 miles is about 42 kilometers. It's like marathon, 42. It's about, okay, about. Now, that is not only of her first attempt. She already been the first woman to swim the English Channel, both ways, swim and come back. Somebody have swim the first time, but her case was swim and come back, all right? Now, the story goes like this. The weather was so foggy and so chilly. Okay, you're thinking about the chilies that you want to go eat, right? Now, she could hardly see the boats accompanying her. So as she swim this is like a world event. You have boats, all the trainer all coming, all right? Still, she swam for 15 hours. Wow, 15 hours swimming, all right? For the 26 mile or 42 kilometer. The thick fog began to set in, clouding her vision and confidence. So she started to beg to be taken out of the water. But her mother was in the boat alongside. So her mother told her that she was so close that she could make it. You can make it. You're so close already, all right? Now, finally, physically and emotionally, she was exhausted. She stopped swimming and she was pulled out to the boat. Now, listen to this. It was until she was on the boat that she discovered the shore was less than half a mile away. 1 mile, how many kilometers? 1.6, about, right? So less than a mile is just about a kilometer. How far is 1 kilometer? It's from my house to the church, 1 kilometer. Yeah, so I run to church outside and I go back 2 kilometers. So go around 2 times 4 kilometers, 3 times 6 kilometers. Just 1 mile, just 1 kilometer away. Just 1 kilometer away. What do we learn from here? Sometimes we are just like Florence Chadwick. So close. And then we give up. How many of you have children, right? When we see them doing, then they're so close. Really, okay, no, no, but me cannot, okay, no. Then go home. Say, oh, you're so close. There are those stories, right? So I hope you can relate, okay, to those. The next day, she said this. All I could see was the fog. I think if I could have seen the shore, I would have made it. All right? Now, sometimes we quit just too early. We also have this fog, F-O-G, right? Like trouble, worry, doubt, depression, health problem, employment, financial situation, uncertainty, strained relationship. We can continue saying those. But sometimes when we have gone that far, do we want to give up? Okay. What's the tallest building in Penang? Komta. Okay, how many floors? 60 floor or more. Okay. If you press for the lift, will the lift come down? Yes, lah. It only takes what I call patience. You make your request already. Wait, lah. It's a 60 floor. Well, it's so slow. It's coming down, ma. 60. But do you know when you go in, it's a high speed lift? And that is a standard, lah. According to me, what? Every lift must reach the top by how many seconds? 1 minute. Okay. Just 1 minute. When my two sons took the roller coaster, I was so afraid. I'm afraid, too afraid, okay, two things. I'm afraid that they're too small, they couldn't take it. The second one is, I'm old enough, I couldn't take it. So before they take the roller coaster, what did I do? I take out my watch, time watch, stopwatch. Oh, 20 seconds only. Can la, 20 seconds. Suffer 20 seconds. So I went down with them. 20 seconds, I count 20 seconds, I done my roller coaster. Oh. Patient, right? Now, part two of the story. 2 months after Chadwick failed attempt, she tried to swim once more. How many believe our God is the God of second chance? Once again, a thick fog set in, and what do you think? Did she swim? Yes, all right? So by this time, she had a mental image of the shoreline in her mind as she pushed herself along. And not only did she succeed, but Chadwick ended up making the swim additional times. She able to go, come back many more times after that because she able to conquer. Do not forget, as I end, what she think? Do not forget what? Remember the day that you first come to know Jesus. How to remain faithful? Number two, do not throw away your confidence. And that is Christ and His Word. When Chadwick swim, he has this one goal, reach the shore. And that shore for us is none other than Jesus. Not give up. Number three, do not shrink back. Remember who you are. Don't shrink back. You learn something today, this morning? All right.